I love Firefly.
Hey, listen. Listen. How do reavers clean off their harpoons?
What's a reaver?
Oh, God.
Like, what you must understand is because I don't like Firefly, I've never fucking watched it.
A reaver is like a zombie.
I love you, Joss Whedon. Buffy the Vampire Slayer was great. Arg.
You're gonna make him fall out of his chair from rolling his eyes too much.
Warning, the following show will spoil the hell out of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire books and the TV show A Game of Thrones. Also, you're probably gonna find a fuck ton of bad language. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Death and boobies, 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 death and boobies.
Welcome back to the Ironwood Network Book Club. I am your host, Maester Ironwood, and as always, I am here with Lady Wyvern and Widow Wolfsbane. Ladies, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good today. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right.
I am fantastic. We finally have a third microphone, so the sound quality of the show should increase from this episode on forward,
I think is good.
All right.
I'm good with it.
So today we are covering A Game of Thrones, John 1, our first John chapter. Very exciting. We get lots of cool stuff. We get a conversation with Tyrion. Always good. It's actually our first conversation with Tyrion in the books. So,
and a good description of him too, actually.
And a very good description of Tyrion. We get a lot of cool thematic stuff in this chapter. We get a lot of information about Jon.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
What?
The book that I'm reading, some monster fell the page down to use it as a bookmark. The atrocities were made.
And this is why you make the move to the Kindle versions, because then monsters can't do such things.
But it's not your book. If it was your book, you wouldn't have cared.
No, if it was my book, I'd be even more angry. I'd be beating somebody and bludgeoning them to death. Like, well, I did your sister the first time she tried to do that to one of my books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I must...
For the binder.
I must confess that when I read paper books... Unless it's like a collector's edition, like my first editions of Stephen King or something like that, I have no problem dog-earing pages.
I pretty much just only get first editions for the most part, which is one of the reasons why
mom taught me to dog-ear, so I dog-ear.
If I just get like myself, like if I go like go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon and buy like a $7 paperback, I really don't give a shit. I'll just dog-ear the fuck out of it. Whatever.
See, that's not too big of a problem. Like, I've got like a whole collection of books that are all like paperbacks. And paperbacks, I'm like, because they get tattered and ruined kind of anyway.
Like this.
Any of the hardbacks? Yeah. Any of the hardbacks that I've read? Like, this is a hard
I don't do that.
Oh, yeah. If I'm going to go buy a nice bound version, or like I've got some Stephen King first editions that I definitely don't dog-ear those. I actually don't read those. I will get another copy to read.
You buy something and then don't use it?
Yeah, I have...
You're such a hypocrite.
I have a first edition printing of Carrie, Stephen King's Carrie, that I bought for $2 at a used junk store place that they had no idea what it was. Dust jacket is in perfect condition and everything.
Well, shit.
Yes.
Well, shit.
Yep. Very nice.
And I've read Carrie, but I didn't read that version of it. That version sits in a locked trunk with several other books.
Nice.
There you go.
And sports memorabilia.
That's a shocker. Yeah,
that's how that's supposed to be.
Yep. So, but yeah, just a regular old paperback that I buy for myself to read. I'll write in it. I will dog ear the fuck out of the pages.
He likes to highlight them.
I highlight.
That's really annoying.
I'll highlight. You have to understand,
book
like
sacrilege. Book sacrilege.
You have to understand, at least half of the books that I read are textbooks.
Book sacrilege.
Like
he does
like,
read textbooks.
I wouldn't even highlight my books.
Like histories and political science books, like nonfiction. Like at least half of what I read is nonfiction.
You know, if you go in the office supply section, they actually have things that you can stick on the pages that cause no damage to the pages that can like quote you at exactly where those things are without having to highlight them and destroy the book.
Do you know that I don't give a shit? How does it destroy the book?
This is the guy who reads textbooks for fun.
It's my personal copy of the book. What does it matter?
Just book sacrilege?
How?
Because it's damning the pages. A wonderful tree died for these book pages, and you're sitting here.
And I'm making it fucking colorful.
People buy lined paper to write on all the time. It's a dead tree.
That's what it was made for, though.
I am making its death colorful.
That's a good way to look at it.
You know what? Death color. I colorful death. I can go with that. All right.
Bam.
Colorful death. I mean, our right. body's pretty colorful, so there's that.
Where were we?
Okay. Beyond that discussion, now that we've settled that I'm not a monster for dog earing and highlighting.
He is a monster for it. I just accepted it.
Anyway. That's why most of the time, fire up the Kindle. I can highlight as much as I want, and nobody gets mad.
Till the battery dies, and then you're screwed.
Well, I've got two Kindles, and one of them has like a 3-day battery, so not a big deal.
All right.
Yes, sure. Multiple Kindles.
Okay, so where were we?
All right, so we haven't even gotten to the synopsis yet. So Lady Wyvern is going to grace us with her first synopsis of the show.
Woo! Yeah!
All right!
Yeah, woo!
Come on, guys.
I'm not going to blame her because we did just get her own microphone for this episode. So I'm not going to blame her for not doing the synopsis.
It's not just for this episode,
or
right?
Or synopsis. Well, we got it
for this episode. We're taking it away after this episode.
Yeah.
That's not fair, guys. You guys got some pretty microphones over there. That's not fair.
Is it synopsis or synopsis?
I think it's synopsi.
I don't care.
It sounds like syllabi.
It sounds wrong either way.
I think it's synopsi as well.
Well,
anyway.
That's like octopi or octopussies. They're both actually grammatically correct.
But they both sound wrong.
Yes, they do.
Unless it's a James Bond villain.
This is true. That might be Pussy where they got it from. But like, depending on if you go with the Greek phonetic or the Latin phonetic, octopi and octopussies are actually both...
They're still both words I would never use on a regular
conversation. So what you're saying is, once again, English is the most fucked up language in the world.
Yes.
Indeed.
Excellent.
All right.
I will always support that claim.
Okay, so Lady Wyvern, why don't you go ahead and give us a quick synopsis of John 1 so we can get into breaking down the chapter.
All right. So the scene is at the welcoming feast for King Baratheon and his multiple people that he has dragged up north with him. And John is sitting away from the rest of the family. He's sitting with the squires and everyone at the back of the great hall because it would be frowned upon for the bastard to sit with the children at the high table next to the king's children. And he's drinking and enjoying the feast. So he's enjoying the feast and he's drinking and he's drinking.
Drinking a lot.
Drinking a lot because he can, because he's not sitting anywhere where he can be watched by Ned or Catelyn and be told what he can or can't do. And Ghost has joined him under the table for food.
Eating a fucking chicken.
A fucking chicken.
He is eating a fucking chicken. Yes. He is just turned into the hound's dog. A fucking chicken. Chicken.
You calling Ghost a hound dog?
He is a hound dog.
A hound dog?
A hound dog. You should get him a helm that looks like the hound's helm so that way he can wear a mask that looks like his own face.
How awesome would Ghost look in like battle armor?
He's so bad.
I'm sure there's some deviant art out there with him in some...
Most likely.
If someone's got some deviant art out there, send it to us.
Fucking deviants.
We love you, deviant people.
Okay, and then he describes the party coming in to the Great Hall. You know, the king and the queen and Ned and all the children and the Lannister men, Jaime and Tyrion. And
Uncle Benjen.
And Uncle Benjen. I forgot Benjen. I'm sorry. He was with Theon Greyjoy. I give no shits for that man. So I'm sorry for Benjen.
Well, Theon's still a good guy at this point. I mean, except for being a dick, but he's not a traitorous dick yet.
I don't like Theon, so anything involving Theon just goes right over my head. So he describes the procession as they all come. What are you looking at me like that for?
I'm thinking about Theon and how much I nothing him. I don't hate him and I don't like him. I nothing him. I'm sitting here like you guys are like, you're like, I hate him like with a passion, and then he's like, he's not that bad, and he's alright. And I'm like,
not yet. He's not like, that bad yet.
And I'm like, I nothing him. Like, I'm sitting here thinking the entire time I've ever read or done anything or seen the show with him, I nothing him.
Really?
He's just there.
Interesting.
He's like an NPC to me. He's just there. Yeah.
See, I like Theon's character. I think we get a lot of good and interesting POV stuff from Theon. So
I have to wait for that for the book then, because the show he's got nothing.
Okay. So, anyways,
yeah.
John gives a whole description of the procession and all the people that are at the party.
I'm just watching you. I didn't do anything this time. Not me, people. It's
we're
not
just
me.
Watching you. We're just watching you. We're just watching you.
That's enough.
All right. And then Uncle, watch my soda can over here.
You watch your soda can. And then Uncle Benjamin comes over to the table to talk to John, and John says he wants to join the Night Watch. The Night's Watch. Okay, I was correct. Okay. It sounded wrong to me saying it out loud. And Benjamin's trying to talk him out of it, and he's all for it. And then he gets upset with his uncle, and he takes off, and then he runs into Tyrion outside, and they're both drunk, and they discuss the pros and cons of being a bastard or a dwarf. As Tyrion says, all dwarves are bastards in their father's eyes.
But not all bastards need be dwarves.
Exactly.
It's true.
And it pretty much ends right there.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'd say that conversation between Benjamin and John took up like pretty much like the whole chapter.
I think that was the biggest part of the chapter.
It's basically a chapter where we're going to learn a lot about John. We're going to learn a little bit about Benjamin, and then some of the other characters kind of sideways through what they see about them and notice about them.
Yeah, it was a bigger chapter, but a lot of it was just description of everything at the Great Hall and all the people that were there.
Very descriptive.
Chapter. I think the biggest part was the conversation between John and Benjen, even bigger than the conversation between him and Tyrion, even though...
I think that they're at least both as important as each, and I think the Tyrion one might even be a little bit more important.
Oh, do you?
I kind of do.
The Tyrion one is more important than the Benjen one.
I kind of do, just because we get some good... I like Tyrion's perspective on things.
Right.
And Tyrion's kind of like the character that we look to learn things. Like,
that
Tyrion's almost always spot on in his assessment of everything.
That is true.
So we get, like, a lot of the evidence for things that we get through Tyrion. I mean, and we come to trust him. Yeah.
And Tyrion's the one Lannister that Jon's always liked anyways.
They have an interest, I wouldn't even call it like a friend relationship, him and Jon, because
they accept each other.
They kind of snip back and forth at each other, but it's more of just like a...
They're frenemies.
It's more of like a mutual respect, because they can both understand where the other has come from.
Both being bastards.
Both
and
being
all.
Bastards, exactly.
It's true.
So
both being bastards, living full in with the family that they're bastardized from.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I think it's an interesting dynamic that the two have on the page together.
Okay, that's a good.
And I mean, Benjen's Benjen. I like Benjen.
Yeah.
Benjen's one of the most intriguing characters. Just because of the open questions about him, at least in my mind. But I don't know as though they're important questions, or if they'll turn out to be important questions, right. Or if they're even questions that we'll ever even get answers to. So I'm always a fan of Benjen being on page, because I do like to theorize things about Benjen.
Right.
Well, we
don't get a lot of information about Benjen.
Yeah, I mean, not in this chapter. We learn he's the first ranger.
Yeah, and he's his brother, and that's pretty much it.
And he was the youngest of his generation of Starks. So, that's pretty much all the information we get about Benjen, but... Okay, so who wants to start us off with the discussion of the chapter? Who's got questions, comments, concerns that we need to go over?
One of you two can start. I just read that damn thing.
I think the interesting thing is that John's still there. Like, Catelyn didn't really want him at the feast to begin with, more or less, because, I mean, Catelyn doesn't ever want him around anyway, because he's a bastard. But I'm surprised that Catelyn was even okay with the fact that he was even in the room to be there to potentially offend the Lannisters if they so much as, like, laid eyes on him.
I think after a while they couldn't stop anyone from coming or going, except for the people that have to man the wall, or the castle.
Oh, yeah, so. The walls outside the building.
Catelyn, a bitch again.
Oh, indeed. Always.
Because she didn't want John to sit with the family. Although we start off the chapter with John's first line in his head saying, you know, this is one of the few times that I enjoy being a bastard, because I just get to sit back here and get drunk.
It's true. Whereas
His wolf with him.
Yeah.
And he's got his wolf
with him. He's got his wolf with him, and he also mentions that where all of the other Stark children would only be allowed to have one glass of wine per their father.
He's been drinking ever since the king sat his ass down.
4-hour feast, and he's been drinking the entire time.
That's sweet
and
summer wine.
And he's only 14.
And he's only 14.
He's a sweet summer child with his sweet summer wine.
That's true. So
for a night, anyways.
Yep, for one night, anyway. But yeah, so Yeah, we get more. We don't like Catelyn, so that's good. You never have too much of we don't like Catelyn shit.
That's the only time she's mentioned in the chapter. Yep.
Thank God.
Yep. Evil mom laying down rules.
Thank the old gods and the new. Sorry.
and the faceless god.
Right. And the faceless god. I thought he was part of the seven.
No.
No, he's not.
No, he's completely
completely death. Different religion.
He's death. The faceless god is death.
Well, what do we say to death?
Not today.
That is true.
Not today.
The one thing I did want to bring up, well, one of the things I wanted to bring up was something that I discussed with you earlier, was how there were three different colored banners on the walls for the Starks, the Baratheons, and the Lannisters.
Yep.
To me, I think that's just a bit much. I mean, obviously, you know, Baratheon because that's the king's family and the Starks because it's their home, but I don't think the Lannister banners were necessary, even though half the people there are Lannisters, but the queen still being a Lannister, but she's a Baratheon.
Yeah, I think it's just more, yeah. And I think it's just paying respect to House Lannister, because she is Cersei of both House Baratheon and of Lannister, even though she's married. It's just a way of paying respect to the family that she comes from.
Yeah, but then both her brothers are still House Lannisters.
So yeah, so like, say too. Later on, had Joffrey actually married Sansa, then she would have been Sansa of both House Baratheon / Lannister.
/ Stark.
Right, and but back House to my Stark. Point, would they make her do that? Do other families do that?
She would be of House Baratheon and of House Stark.
Right, but would they make her do the Lannister thing too? Because
No, because she didn't come from House Lannister. I just put the / Lannister in there because Joffrey's not actually a Baratheon.
Right, yeah. But I'm saying do other great families do that?
Yeah, because even Ned still calls Catelyn Tully.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he still refers to her as of House Tully.
Okay.
So it's the same thing for Cersei. Just the respect for her family, especially considering how prominent a family the Lannisters are, she still would be considered of House Lannister, and therefore Lannister sigil would still be an important thing for her when she's around.
Okay, because it didn't make sense to me, because if I was married and then I threw a party for someone, I'd have my family and their family, but then I wouldn't have my whole extended family.
Right, but it's not just her extended family, it's her father and her brothers.
And all their money.
Exactly. Yeah. And for the Lannisters, that's what it is. It's their money. Because let's not forget the Casterly Rocks' reason for being so important is that they have the gold mines.
Yeah, they fund the
everything
the king
does ever.
Yeah.
Yep. They're in their, they fund the whole realm. Yeah, the king's in debt, like 3.5 million dragons
gold, yeah.
To the Lannisters. So. Yeah.
And counting.
Yeah, of course. And I'm sure he's probably in debt to Littlefinger too.
Well, no, he's not in debt to Littlefinger.
No,
Littlefinger. Littlefinger. Well, we find out. Littlefinger. Go ahead.
He just finds the money, and it's not.
Yeah,
that's true.
Littlefinger manipulates it to make himself a lot of money.
That's true.
By like loaning out the king's money and then collecting
debt on
additional.
It.
Additionals on it.
Additionals on it when he brings it in. So that way the debt's paid back with interest, but then additional interest that goes to him that he then basically kind of launders through his brothels.
So the area of kneecaps are fuzzy in his perception.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably not the greatest thing on the planet.
What does that mean?
Firefly. When Shepherd Book is, they're trying to save Mal from the thing. And shut your face.
Shut up.
Shut your face, sir. But when they're doing when they're saving Mal from the Nicolai guy.
Okay.
And Mal comes back out and he goes, Shepherd, I thought like killing people is something like that's against like the Bible or whatever. And he goes, yeah, killing people is generally frowned upon in the Bible. He goes, but the area of kneecaps is pretty fuzzy.
Okay.
So he just shot everybody in the kneecaps.
Okay.
Anyway.
I forgot that.
Nerd alert.
Yeah, right. Mace Rosier's rolling his eyes at us.
Just saying.
He gives no fucks.
Funny crossovers. Not a Firefly fan.
Because he's terrible.
If you really want people to listen to us, you can't bash. Well, I can't say anything we bash too, but.
Hey, if we got lots of Star Trek people out there, I'm right with you.
All right.
Oh, yeah. See, we got two Star Wars fans and one Star Trek fan.
Yeah, Star Trek over here. We got Terminator. I'm down with the Terminator.
I'm down with the Terminator too. Down with Terminator.
Hell yeah. Walking Dead.
Have you seen this?
Absolutely.
Doctor fucking Who?
Yep.
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 See, I'm with all the good stuff.
It's only good because he likes it. If he doesn't like it, it's not any good.
That's true.
Firefly's really good.
I love Firefly.
Hey, listen. Listen. How do reavers clean off their harpoons?
What's a reaver?
Oh, God.
Like, which you must understand is because I don't like Firefly. I've never fucking watched it.
A reaver is like a zombie.
I love you, Joss Whedon. Buffy the Vampire Slayer was great. Sure, arg.
You're gonna make him fall out of his chair from rolling his eyes too much.
I mean, he's gonna break his neck over there. His eye roll's getting so hard, his like neck is just gonna snap over the weight of it.
Alright.
So, anyway. I want to talk about this lovely bitch in the chapter and Ghost and how Ghost defends his own against the one of the kennel dogs because she's just walking through picking up scraps that people have dropped. And so she sees that Ghost has the whole chicken under the table.
Whole fucking chicken.
The whole fucking chicken. And she tries to take it from him, and he's like, nah, you need to back the fuck up.
Yeah, she
backs. But he doesn't make a noise.
He doesn't have to. He's a third of her size. And she just, like, she starts growling at him and, like, you're going to give me the piece of chicken or whatever because you're younger. And then he just kind of stare at her and...
bares his teeth.
Yeah, bares his teeth and that's it.
Yeah, without making a noise, which Benjen does comment to us on.
Yes.
That Ghost is a quiet wolf.
A very quiet wolf.
A very quiet wolf indeed. Now...
that's why his name is Ghost.
He's not like the others, John says.
Yep, a very quiet wolf, he observed. Yes, now, there is a character in the story who is called the Quiet Wolf.
Two guesses who that is?
Can anybody guess who the Quiet Wolf is?
I know
who it is. With Jon Snow?
No.
What?
Jon Snow is not the Quiet Wolf.
Is it Benjen?
It is not Benjen.
Damn it. All right, I give up. Those are my only two guesses.
Those are your only two guesses?
I told her she only had two guesses.
Oh.
Yeah.
You want to throw a third out?
No.
Take a guess.
No.
One Eddard Ned Stark has long been known as the Quiet Wolf.
Oh.
I find it interesting that Ned's bastard, quote unquote, son has the quiet wolf.
Yeah.
While Ned is the quiet wolf. Would almost make you think that maybe John isn't a quote unquote bastard. Maybe.
We just put up a video of you just like doing the air quotes for everyone to see the look on your face with your eyebrows raised. Bastard.
That's right.
with the air quotes. Make it a gift.
Widow over here is not taking any of his shit. She doesn't want to believe him.
She doesn't want to believe.
I don't want to believe. I'll believe in aliens, but I won't believe in this.
She's the anti-Fox Mulder of Westeros.
I am. I'm the Agent Scully of Westeros. That shit's not real.
Oh, she wanted to believe, too.
No, she didn't. Not first.
Not at first.
Not at
she
first.
She came around.
She came around after the Wendigo shit.
Which means you'll come around. Can we talk about all the stuff that John has been noticing in this chapter?
No. We're just talking about other stuff.
How about just the fact that John is very good at noticing details and things?
Like the fact that his dad is very... what's the word?
Pretending to be happy?
Yes. And yes. Cersei just looks pissed. But she's pissed because they went down to the crypt after she told
she's
him
pissed
no.
Just because she's always pissed.
She's pissed because her name is Cersei and she's a fucking Lannister.
She's got to get that stick out of her ass.
Well, Jamie can help her with that later.
But yeah, John.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, John does note that A, bastards have to grow up faster.
Yes.
Yes.
And that they also need to notice things
a lot more.
Better than other true-born kids because they have to. Their position in the world is a little more tenuous.
They don't know where they're going to end up, whereas everybody else does.
Exactly. So, yeah. So John is very adept. We get the notion that John is very adept at noticing things and reading people and reading situations. Whereas, you know, the other kids, even perhaps Rob, we'll learn later on, really isn't as adept at things like that.
Was anyone surprised that Benjen tried to talk John out of going to the wall?
Yeah, just because he's so young, I think, is it wouldn't surprise me that he would try to talk him out of it being so young.
Right. But yeah. there are boys that are younger than him that go to the wall.
But right. They go up there they don't really choose to do it.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. They don't go by choice.
Yeah.
It's usually something like they're orphans and no one will take them in.
Or they were stealing food.
Yes.
Or... Yep. Exactly.
Oh, poor Ollie.
Not a character in the book. Oh, that's right.
No, he's not a character.
He's not a character in the book.
No,
Prince Ali is not a character in the book.
You saw him, Prince Ali?
Yeah, Prince Ali.
Ali.
Prince Ali, Ali Asi, Ali Ababa.
Hey, that's a Disney reference.
That's a Disney reference.
That is a Disney
right
reference. As I'm was proud saying, of him. You're like, oh my god,
I am Disney so bitches proud of him right there. Now.
Now we're going to get sued, everybody, so we'll see you in like 50 years after we get out of jail.
I am so proud of him right now.
Anyone should know that if they join our family, that it ends up being like
Disney references, yeah, Disney references all over the place.
But yeah, there's no Prince Ali in the book. He's just an idiot in the TV show.
Oh, that's too bad. I liked him in the TV show till you know he did something stupid.
Well, he didn't do anything stupid in the show.
He stabbed John. Yeah, he did do something stupid.
Yeah, but the reason he was on the wall was because the wildlings that were coming over the wall had slaughtered his family, and he was the only one left out of the entire village. That's why he ended up at the wall.
Oh, because he had nowhere else to go.
Yeah, he had nowhere else to go, and right. He had no one left. So he went to the wall because he had to. He had nowhere else to be.
Well, then after he ended up in the wall, he did something stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had, what's that guy's name? Alistair. No.
Alistair Thorne.
Yeah, Alistair. He had Alistair breathing down his neck and trying to make him into a man.
Because he was friends with John.
Yeah.
And he didn't
well, he was back. John's. He was John Stewart.
Oh, yep. That's true. That's right.
Yep.
And then he turned on John.
Alistair was pissed that he didn't become John Stewart, so he couldn't be.
Alistair didn't want to be John Stewart.
He wanted to be primed for command, just like John was. All
no. Right, let's digress.
Oh my goodness! All right,
Alistair just wanted to be in charge.
Alistair's oh yeah, douche. Absolutely.
He thought he should be in charge, especially over a.
Well, because he's been there. He's yeah. been there longer.
Lord
too.
Snow.
No,
that man's had a stick up his ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he was part of the
does he get laid? He should just go get laid, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, he was sent to the wall after the rebellion. I mean, that was his punishment for being on the Targaryen side of the rebellion.
Oh, he was, yeah. He was
that's
on
why
the Targaryen
he's at,
side.
That's why he's yeah. at the wall.
That's one of the other reasons why I think Alistair hates him is because he's the son of the Ned guy Stark. Who helped the usurper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How am I not catching all this? I've watched the shows a million times. I don't know.
Well, that detail comes from the book.
Oh, does it?
No.
Books.
Okay. The books.
I didn't get that from
later
the books.
On.
Well, the I mean,
it's later know. On in the books.
Yeah, but I just kind of knew that.
I didn't know that.
But I kind of inferred it.
That's the reason he's at the wall, because of his part in the rebellion.
Okay.
So Robert spared his life and sent him to the wall instead.
Okay. Yeah. So he's still an ass.
Yeah, he's still an ass.
All right.
Absolutely. All right, so we've got Jon Snow noticing things. Noticing more things than pretty much anybody. I mean, he notices things that it takes Benjen like a double take to figure out.
Like Marcella yes. being smitten with Rob.
Marcella being a young idiot. Yep.
Yeah. Well, yep. She's eight, you know. Yeah. First crushes are always the worst.
I think she'd be a good match for Rob. I think she'd make a good Lady Stark.
I think she would, too.
I like Marcella.
She's a very adaptable girl.
Yes.
Like, I'd rather see her marry Rob than Sansa marry Joffrey.
Absolutely.
Well, that's because no one should marry Joffrey, but that's
well,
the point.
Because Joffrey should be killed.
Well, yeah.
He should be put down mercifully. Or unmercifully.
Yeah. Well, I'll go with the unmercifully.
Well, he hasn't, at this point, he hasn't had a chance to do anything yet.
That's it. At this point, he could be done mercifully. In the next book or two, probably not so much.
Yeah, no. I would say in the next six chapters, I get to the point where I'm like, okay, he's just a little douchebag, and he probably deserves whatever he gets.
It's true.
It's his right. genetics.
Well, I mean, he's his grandfather's son. Sort of.
Because he's his uncle's
at
son.
At least Tywin was smart.
Tywin had logic and strategy on his
side.
You see,
my thing with Tywin is he's this big, rich dude. You know, he's got all this power. Why the fuck did he let Jaime and Cersei do their thing and procreate?
Because he doesn't believe it's true.
He doesn't want to believe it's true.
Yeah, he doesn't want to believe it's true, and he's trying to, like, he doesn't want it to stay in the family name, so he's just, like, he's like, it's not happening.
He's ignoring it in the hopes that it will go away.
Because he knows that nobody is going to really say anything about it, like,
officially,
with him around.
Okay, so if it wasn't as powerful, it'd be something to, like, right. really be worried about.
Like, if he were, like, in, like, if he were the Tarleys instead of the Lannisters, then it's probably something that would be known.
He'd send Jaime to the wall.
Yeah.
He might very well.
Okay.
I mean, and I think it's also because Jaime really pissed him off by joining the Kingsguard.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jaime, he did not want Jaime to join the
because
Kingsguard.
He needed Jaime to inherit everything.
Jaime to be the heir, because now his only possible heir is Tyrion.
Which yep. I think that Jaime did that on purpose. Like, Tyrion is really good with having responsibility, oddly enough.
And Jaime loves Tyrion.
And Jaime loves his brother, but Jaime, I mean,
I don't think Jaime did it because he thought Tyrion would be a better Lord of the Rock. I think Jaime did it because he wanted to serve the realm.
Not because he wanted to be closer to his sister?
No. I mean, I think that's part of it. But Jaime always, as you get through the books and you listen to Jaime, he's always driven to be is like that honorable, chivalrous knight that's like the protector of the realm.
He wants right. to earn that's, shiny armor he's wearing.
That's what he's always wanted to be. So him deciding to join the Kingsguard does not surprise me one bit.
Okay.
Fucking the king's wife is probably not the way to be that honorable guy, though.
Well, you know, they've been doing it since they were kids, so, you know, why stop now?
They started by playing doctor, so.
I'll show you mine, you show me yours.
Basically.
Now, where does this go?
Actually, they didn't even have to do that, because they already knew each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they were born naked together, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, I mean, that's who he's always wanted to be, is that chivalrous knight. That's what he always wanted to be.
Maybe in the end he will be.
I think he already is.
In the TV show.
How many lives did he save when he killed the Mad King? Thousands and lives. Thousands
oh, yeah.
and thousands
yeah. the
and
whole
thousands
city.
And thousands. Not even that, it brought the war to an end.
That too.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Because there was no king. Rhaegar was already dead. He had died at the Trident, so
that's
there was
right.
no heir, except for little Viserys.
Who was 8 and on the run?
Right. So, I mean, he saved a ton of lives by
That's
killing
true.
The king. He saved a ton of more.
The beggar king from becoming king.
He saved a ton of more lives
the beggar king,
in yeah. a couple of chapters by keeping word getting out that his children were bastards.
All right.
So,
I'll give it to him, I guess.
I mean, that's who he always wanted to be. He wanted to be that chivalrous knight, and that. So him joining the Knight's Guard is like par for the course and exactly what he would want to do and be.
Yeah. The Knight's Guard?
Or the King's Guard.
Okay.
King's Guard, Knight's Guard. They're about the same thing.
No,
you
the
Knight's...
You
Knights... still have to give up, like, you know, having a family and stuff like that. Like, he can't inherit heirs. And, like,
he can't have
yeah, there's,
he can't
yeah,
have children.
There's some it's... weird symmetry yeah. between the King's Guard vows and the Knight's Watch vows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's got to be, like, a little bit of a linkage there.
It's king and country.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying because the vows for the Knight's Guard, for the King's Guard and the Night's Watch are very similar.
Yeah, they're close. Whereas like you can't father children, you can't have a family, you can't own lands.
There's a lot of similarity there. I wonder how closely tied those two offices are.
I would imagine pretty closely, except for the fact that the Night's Watch is technically outside the realm of the king. Like even the Night's Guard doesn't have to
King's Guard.
No, the Night's Watch.
The Night's Watch does not have to answer to the king's laws. Half the time.
Well, technically they do, because they still depend on the realm. They have to ask the king for money and things
and
like
people.
That. They're part of the realm. Mm. It's just, it's like a get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, if you commit any crime, no matter what it is, you're supposed to be given the option of taking the black.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing.
Unless you abandon your post at the wall. Then you just die.
Or then you lose your head, because you've already shown that you can't. I mean, what's your punishment?
You're literally there.
What's your punishment for desertion of the Night's Watch going to be? Going back to the Night's Watch?
Right,
that does
yeah.
no good. So you have to have a different punishment for that.
Maybe they have to join the Night King's Watch. But I mean, actually, that's exactly what they're doing to them. So deserting the Night's Watch sends you to the Night King's Watch because they are killing him.
Nah, they cut off the head and burn the body.
Right.
Oh, well, fine.
Have we discussed Jon's conversation with Tyrion yet? Or are we still on Benjen?
No, we're still on his thing with Benjen, because I also want to go over Daeron Targaryen.
Okay.
And that's Jon's idol. Jon's idol is a Targaryen.
Okay.
I'm just putting that out there, because it's... it goes against your theory.
I knew she was going to do that.
How does it go against?
Because his idol's a Targaryen. Because he likes a Targaryen?
Because if his father is a Targaryen. His father is...
You don't know who the fuck his father is.
No, I don't. But I like to imagine that his father is Rhaegar. And that his idol is Daenerys Targaryen, and who would be ancestor of his.
And we like to think his father is Ned, so...
You guys can like to think that as much as you want. It's still wrong.
There's also a former King of Winter who was named Jon Stark, who built the Wolf's Den.
I don't remember Jon Stark. Lord
of Winterfell.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's named after Jon Arryn anyway.
We don't know who he's named after.
Again, why would Ned name a bastard?
After somebody he had that much respect for.
If Lyanna gave him a name that would obviously make him a Targaryen or Targaryen-born child, Robert would have him slaughtered.
So then give him a different name.
Ned gave him a different name and he named him John.
So he would dishonor his friend, John.
Yeah. And name his
bastard. Well, John dishonored Rob by naming that little bastard that he had after him. Not that he's actually like a legitimate bastard, but that he's a weak little piece of shit.
You didn't know that at birth.
Yeah.
Like that's a true born son of Jon Arryn, named for the king, right? Because that's respectful.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would you disrespect somebody by naming a bastard after them?
I don't know. That's Ned Stark. He obviously did it.
Maybe it's because Jon's not a bastard.
He's not a bastard. He's Rhaegar and Lyanna's son.
And how would that work?
Ilya and her children were already massacred by the time that Rhaegar got together with Lyanna.
They weren't.
Are you sure?
Yes.
They were still alive.
I was hoping.
No.
Nope, they were still alive.
That was a grasp at a straw right there.
Not even a little bit.
Nope.
And the people who... George and the people who run the main website for the books have already said that, despite what the TV show says, annulment is not a thing in Westeros.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So... Even if Jon were Rhaegar's son,
mm-hmm. he'd still be a bastard.
He'd still be a bastard.
That's fair. All right. I suppose.
So what did he want to know about?
Which also means that him being a Targaryen means fucking nothing, because I don't think he can inherit anything Targaryen because he's a bastard if he's a Targaryen.
He's a bastard all around.
No, he's John fucking Stark, the only first trueborn son of Ned Stark, who will one day be King of the North.
I hope so. That sounds like a nice plan, too. Yes. Mostly because John's a...
Father John's Ned, Mother Ashara.
No, I don't know about that part. Still, if he's
Lyanna's son, he can't be Lord of Winterfell. She was never the Lord of anything.
She wasn't legally married.
Yeah, she wasn't legally married either. Which is why Ned adopted him.
He didn't adopt him. He took him in.
It was his son.
I don't know. I don't remember any... I have not read anything about it in the Star right here.
She's fighting.
I'm fighting it.
You are fighting it so hard.
It's because the TV show tells her that Rhaegar and Lyanna are Jon's parents, and she can't break out of the mold and say, okay, the TV show doesn't always know what it's talking about.
Well, I mean, I know the TV shows never know what they're talking about, but I just don't want to believe it. I don't have enough evidence of my own yet to be able to... say otherwise.
Oh, we've shown you the evidence.
Nope.
You watched.
I haven't watched all of them.
You watched 50 minutes of evidence. Yeah, I know.
I haven't watched all of them.
Okay, so I think what we need to take a break and feed Sir Mouthy and Miss Mouthy, because apparently they're hungry.
And they're cheating my twos.
And then we will come back and finish up our discussion of the chapter. So we will catch you guys in a few minutes. Okay, so we're back from our break. The cats have been fed, and we're going to go ahead and continue our discussion of Jon 1. I think we're probably up to the point where Jon gets embarrassed when he blurts out that he will never father a bastard when Benjen is talking to him, because Benjen, who's trying to convince him not to go to the wall right now, Benjen tells him to... you know, go out, bang a few broads, have experience a couple of bastards life. Of your own. You know, you don't know what you'll be giving up, again, which feeds both possible who is John's father theories.
obviously Benjen is not his father because John stands up and shouts, "I am not your son."
Yeah, well, I mean, we're certain to begin with.
That's pretty obvious.
John is not Benjen's son. I mean, that's never even a theory.
Well, but it doesn't have to be a theory. I'm just saying. We could just cross Benjen's name off that list.
Yep.
I don't think Benjen was anywhere near where Ned was when Ned brought John home.
Yeah, no.
He was somewhere.
Yeah, Benjen is definitely not John's father. There's no question about that. I don't. There's two theories of John's father, and that's never been one of them.
Okay.
So.
Now that that's off the table.
He tells John to go out and have some bastards of his own. He doesn't know what he's going to be giving up. He says that John says, "I don't care." And Benjen tells him, close to the exact words are, "If you knew what you'd be giving up, you might change your mind."
I think, so here's the other thing too, is that when John stands up and shouts that, like, "I'm not your son," Benjen's reply to that is more is the pity, because Benjen wants a whole family of his own, and he knows that he can't have one because of the vows that he took.
Yeah, I sometimes, again, this goes back to my one of Benjen, and why is Benjen at the wall? Why did Benjen take the black? Because he seems like he'd make a good father.
Yeah. He loves it.
He seems like he'd make a good lord of a castle.
He loves his nieces and nephews. Make a good
father.
So I just come back to, why did Benjen, was it by his choice? Was it family duty?
George, if you ever hear this, can you just answer us as to why Benjen's on the wall? Like, we don't want to know any other extraneous details. We just want to know, why is Benjen on the wall?
No, I want to know all the extraneous details.
Well, first, just give us...
including why Benjen is at the wall.
Well,
just give us that
me.
First.
Yeah, answer me first and let me know. I don't want any more information from you. I just want to know why Benjen's there. Really? I can't say that I wouldn't have follow-up questions, but...
Just tell us why he's at the wall.
Really, you would rather know first why Benjen is at the wall than who John's father is?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Both of you.
The books will tell us who John's parents are.
Well, they should also tell us why Benjen's at the wall.
It may or may not.
I have a feeling that we're going to learn... Again, this is my theory. I have a feeling that we're going to learn that there must always be a Stark in the Night's Watch.
The fuck was that?
Somebody's phone on vibrate.
No.
Nope.
That noise came from over there.
Oh, it was my work phone on vibrate.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was. Yeah, work phones.
I said turn your phone off.
Yeah, I didn't get up to turn that one off.
Yeah, that's because you never checked
that
phone.
I forget that I have it sometimes. Gracefully forget that I have it sometimes. But yeah, so we get Benjen trying to talk John out of going to the wall. Tells John to go have a few bastards of his own. John gets indignant, says that he will never, ever, ever father a bastard.
A little too loudly.
Never. A little too loudly.
Spat it out like venom.
Yep. And then walks away, stumbling drunk.
Yeah, he does, because he's belligerent.
Out of the Great Hall, trips, falls, makes a racket.
Knocks over some poor girl carrying food. Poor
serving girl. And heads outside.
And, yeah. With the last of his dignity. I don't think he really has any dignity left after that, though.
No.
Can't say that he does.
No. But
he thinks he's saving some of it.
But then when he gets outside, Lady Wyvern, who do we get to meet?
Tyrion
Lannister.
Bum, bum, bum!
Who enters our story doing a backflip.
Yeah, he fucking does.
Off of a stone wall.
Like a fucking circus clown. Because
he's a goddamn ninja.
Yeah.
He's a circus clown.
Actually, he's a gargoyle. Gargoyles are very flexible creatures. Just watch the TV show from the 1990s.
I know what show you're talking about, but Tyrion's a circus clown. He's the right height. He looks just like one.
He looks like a freak in the books.
Exactly.
He's more of a freak show.
People in circuses are freaks.
People in freak shows are freaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they are normally shown as circuses.
The freak shows were always part of a circus, yes.
Okay, thank you.
There's like the side freak show.
Moving on.
Put that out there. I like Tyrion too
much. You do not always have to have the last word.
Yes, I do. Do you know me? Do you know me?
Very well. Very, very well.
But anyway, yes, we get Tyrion entering the story with a backflip and being a little afraid of Ghost.
Yeah, and Ghost is like gonna rip his face off at first. Like, yes. Ghost is a little
skeptical.
Ghost is skeptical of the situation. And I mean, of course, okay, so we've known my background. We've talked about the fact that I'm a veterinary technician, that sort of thing. So, like, in my mind, one of the things, like, there's a couple different scenarios that Ghost can be playing through in this thing that would be like a legitimate real life type deal between the fact that he's not socialized well enough. So being not socialized, he kind of like is uncomfortable with the situation. So that's why he's like growling and snarling, but he's well trained enough
to the point. He doesn't make any noise.
No growling, no snarling. Ghost does not make any noise.
Yeah, sure. He does. Yeah. So anyway, but still,
he bears his teeth.
Snarling does not necessarily have to mean making sound.
He bears his teeth.
Yeah, baring teeth is a form of snarling.
Okay. Well, then he snarls.
Yeah, snarling does not have to be growling and snarling are not the same thing.
Well, you said he was growling and snarling, so we had to correct you.
All right, fair enough. I stand corrected.
Because he was snarling. He's the quiet wolf.
Yeah. So he snarls at Tyrion. You know, just showing his teeth and everything like that, which could be a sign of him, like, you know, not being socialized well enough. But the thing is that John has him well enough trained that when he tells him, like, you know, Ghost, it's fine, like, sit and stay. Like, his sit-stay command is perfect enough that even though he's not comfortable with the situation, Tyrion can still pet him. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a way, like, you know, socializing too. But then there's also other things that they can show, too, where he's also just, like, really being, he could be just being protective of John himself, too. Because it's John's wolf.
That shows the fact
that he's not a dog.
Yes.
He's a wolf.
Well, yeah.
And not just any
wolf. He's a wolf being trained like a dog, though.
But like a very large dire wolf, which is a real ancient animal from Earth.
Yes.
That were ginormous.
Yeah, they fucking were.
And huge and vicious beasts, because that's what wolves are. They're vicious.
Wolves call them vicious.
Wolves.
Wolves are not vicious. Like, an actual, like, modern-day wolf is not a vicious animal.
He looks so confused.
Have you seen them hunting, like caribou?
Yeah.
They're pretty vicious. Yeah. I'm not saying vicious is a bad thing. I'm just saying that they are a vicious animal.
Oh, yeah, they'll go after shit. Oh,
yeah. I'm not saying that that's, like a bad personality trait or something.
Well, then let's just go to say that all humans are vicious.
Oh, humans are absolutely vicious animals as well. We have, you know, modern society and our frontal lobes to kind of push that viciousness down in most people.
But it's still there.
But I mean, just look at any kind of, like, any story about, like, you know, an apocalypse of sorts. A lot of humanity loses that humanity and reverts to a very vicious, animalistic nature.
Yep.
Because
survive or die.
Get rid of modern society and modern rules, and that's who we are.
Yeah.
So, and a dire wolf, I would assume, is the same thing. I mean, yes, he's training it to be a pet for him, but just look at what Rob does with his wolf later on. Takes him into battle, and he's a vicious fighter in battle.
Yeah.
And Ghost is the same way in battle.
Ghost is a badass.
Yeah. Ghost is a giant, vicious wolf.
Yeah.
You know, who's being raised by a boy as a pet.
Yes.
So I could understand Tyrion being scared. And I understand Ghost being like...
Ghost is worried about the situation too, because he's like... Well, first of all, this is probably also the first time Ghost has ever seen a midget. Frankly.
Don't...
What are you going to say?
She was going to say, don't use the word midget.
Okay, so... So we get a little bit of conversation about Ghost with John and Tyrion. John tells him, I've got him trained well enough that you're safe now. He's not going to rip you apart. And Tyrion's like, okay, good puppy, good puppy, good puppy. Leave me be nice. Thank you.
Go to my hand. He needs it to finger the ladies.
Yep. And then some conversation where Tyrion tells John that he knows how he feels because John's like, you're a true-born Lannister and blah, 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 and everybody loves you and your daddy loves you and your mommy and she was real. And, you know, Tyrion's like, all dwarves are bastards in their father's eyes.
Oh, and he also gives away the information that his mother died while birthing him.
Right.
Yes.
Mommy can't love you if she's dead.
When John says, you know, your mother was, you know, the true lady of Casterly Rock, and so you're a true-born son.
Of Lannister.
And Tyrion says, oh, please do tell my father. He seems to not realize this.
Yeah.
So we get to understand that that Tywin does not like Tyrion at all.
Yes.
So that, as far as family dynamics go, that's really what we learn about Tyrion right now, is that at least his father does not like him, doesn't even like to acknowledge that he's his own son, doesn't want him to inherit.
Because his mother's not alive to ask him.
I'm surprised his father didn't send him to the Night's Watch to be of some use up there, because, I mean,
but he's the only son around who can inherit anything.
If Jaime breaks his oath to the king's guard, then he can technically inherit, because there was a conversation that he ended up having. I don't know, because this is technically the show, but that he can eventually still inherit Casterly Rock
if he abandons. Gives
up his, if he would either have to be relieved, which has never happened at that point.
At this point in the book,
it does happen later on that Barristan Selmy does get relieved, but until that, it's never happened. The only way out of the same way with the Night's Watch, the only way out of the Kingsguard
is death.
Is death.
Yeah,
as far as we know, and the punishment for breaking your vows as a Kingsguard would be the same as breaking your vows to the Night's Watch.
Yeah,
you die. So you wouldn't be able to inherit. His punishment would either be death, or being sent to the Wall.
But with his nephews being the king.
His children?
Well, nephews, as far as the world is concerned. Even though everyone knows that they're his children. But his nephew being king, he would be able to, like, you know, Tywin, and Tywin being the hand at one point, would be one of those scenarios where he'd be like, listen, you're relieved of your duty, now go to Casterly Rock and, like, take care of my shit.
Yeah, I remember Tywin tried that.
Yeah.
And Jaime told him no.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm not. Yeah, well, that's the thing, though. But I'm wondering why Tywin has not sent Tyrion to the Night's Watch, because, first of all, he doesn't want him. He doesn't want him to be a Lannister. If he has to give up his name and titles when he goes to the Night's Watch, he could send him to the Night's Watch, and then he wouldn't be able to inherit the titles the same way Samwell couldn't inherit his father's titles.
Well, because then, unfortunately, if then Jaime still chooses not to, then there's nobody who can. If he sends Tyrion to the Wall, and Jaime's like, fuck you, not doing it, which is what he would do, then they're left with nobody to inherit Casterly Rock.
And then a whole other war would start over that.
Which means it would go to Kevin's son.
Yeah, it would go to Tywin's
brother. Their uncle Kevin, Tywin's brother Kevin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it would go to Tywin's brothers.
His first general.
When the main line ends, it goes lateral.
To the next oldest brother.
Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense.
So yeah, it would, and then everything, all the Lannister stuff would pass through Kevin's line from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyrion is still a better choice.
Would that make Lancel, like, the new Jaime?
Yes, that would
Lancel
make...
Lancel, Kevin's son?
I think so.
Yes, Lancel is Kevin's son.
Hmm.
So yes, then Lancel would kind of be like Kevin's Jaime.
That'd be pretty fucking sweet.
Wait, no. What?
And he's also fucking Cersei, too, just like Jaime. So.
Yeah, exactly. So he's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
But then, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But then, of course, he becomes crazy, taking the faith of the Seven.
Shaving his head and scarring his face.
Scarification,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so... Then he really is the Jaime.
Well, if you had to fuck your cousin too, I think I would do the same thing.
Especially if it's evil Cersei.
Yeah. I mean, if it's the Light of the Seven or Cersei's cunt, I mean...
He didn't have to fuck her.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Why?
You think she was letting him get away with not doing that?
Yeah.
He's like a weak pussy-ass bitch. You think he's gonna tell Cersei no?
You think
you think she was raping him?
Yeah.
Having non-consensual sex, quotes.
I think he wanted to, but he wouldn't have just because of who she was. She's the queen, and that's treason.
And she wants whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Gets whatever she wants.
But if he had turned her down the first couple of times, like, she could have had him killed for that. She could have made up some bullshit story like she always does. Yeah, that he tried to rape her, and then he would have been killed. So he has to kind of go with it. And then, of course, I'm sure after a while, I mean, he probably got into the fact that he's having sex.
I'm sure he's enjoying it.
Yeah. But it's
a guy. She's described as very beautiful, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she's like a hot young blonde, so.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
It's just one of those things where, he probably didn't want to do it, but he was also still, it was one of those things, either fuck your cousin or die.
I'd die. Then again, all my cousins are female, except for, like, two.
I say that he's Zane's cousin.
Yeah. Well, that's some Cersei stuff that we get in the books that we don't really get in the show, is there's some Cersei lesbian stuff in the books that doesn't show up in the show.
Yeah, Cersei's just a sexual person.
Really?
She uses her sexuality as a weapon.
Yeah.
Especially against
men. Well, that doesn't shock me at all.
Which I think is one of the reasons why she does the lesbian stuff. I don't think it's that she's...
I don't think it's because she's enjoying it as much.
I don't think it's that she's a lesbian. I think it's because it's the only sex that she has that isn't in some way manipulative or about power.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's just kind of like a thing that she can enjoy.
Yeah.
Sex with women.
Yeah. Because there's no power dynamic for her to play there, because...
What character?
It would be a crime for her.
What character is she having sex with?
A handmaid of hers.
Oh, okay. So, is it that one with the short haircut in the TV show? Well,
I mean,
in the TV show, they don't mention
it's not a name that they give to that girl in the TV show.
I think it started with a B. That's all I remember.
I don't think that they ever gave her a name in the show.
Okay.
But yeah, in the books, you'll come to it. And I think it's more just, it's an enjoyable thing for her because she doesn't have, there's no power dynamics tied to it.
Okay.
It's against the rules. So, I mean, she could be killed for doing it.
For being gay?
Yes.
For being gay and for cheating on her husband, who is the king.
Okay. Right.
Whereas, like, sex with Jamie, for her, is about power.
Really?
She likes to control Jamie. And she uses that as a way to control him.
Hmm.
And the same thing with Robert. I mean, it's a way to control him and keep him kind of under her thumb.
Yeah, but he apparently can't perform.
She purposely gets him drunk enough that he can't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she can't get pregnant.
Right.
Yeah. Because she doesn't
enjoy doing it with Robert. For her, it's a power thing.
Right. So she can say, we're unable to do it again.
Bastard. I mean, she was all for it when they first got married.
Yeah, then he called her Liana.
Yeah, and passed out drunk, and then she was like, yep, nope.
Yeah, and then she went and banged Jamie.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And that's where we get Joffrey from.
Yeah.
I wonder why Joffrey's
They've
so
only been
out.
Married 8 years?
Since the end of the Rebellion. Yeah. So 15 years.
Oh, Joffrey's not 15. Joffrey's
13.
Okay.
It takes a while to get pregnant.
Not for everyone.
Well, I mean, first of all, she's technically supposed to be a virgin.
Well, remember that they... And who knows if it's true in the books or not yet. We don't really know, but...
Yeah.
She had that first potential baby by Robert that was aborted.
Before that's right. She mentioned something about getting rid of it.
Right. So that's in the show.
But how did she know it was his and not Jaime's?
Probably the color of his hair.
Because...
It was aborted!
Because Jaime might not have been in King's Landing at that point.
Yeah.
With her. Where she would have just been there with Robert, so... You don't know where Jamie was. I mean, Jamie could have been finishing up battles or who knows.
Yeah. That's true.
So.
Didn't know they had abortions.
Well, I mean...
They have moon tea. Moon tea.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Some kind of herb that they drink and it expels the fetus.
Yep.
Yep. Causes abortion.
All right.
Spontaneous miscarriage.
Yeah. That's what it causes a miscarriage, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so... That's what I think it is for her. As far as that goes, back to Tyrion.
Tyrion!
We learn, that's what we get with Jon and Tyrion, is kind of Tyrion kind of giving Jon the what for where as to, hey, your life's not as bad as you think.
Suck it up, buttercup.
And that's kind of where Tyrion and Jon leave things, because then Tyrion heads back into the feast. And the chapter concludes with one of my favorite lines, where Jon notices with the shadow that for the first time Tyrion stood as tall as a king.
For just a second.
Yep. Yeah. Which I think is interesting.
I like that line too. That line hit something with me too, where I was just like, I feel like this is in some way really important, because like Tyrion's a smart guy.
Well, we know that the hand of a king is as powerful. As the king is.
Yep.
And at least in the TV show, we don't know how it's going to go in the books yet, because Tyrion's not there yet, but at least in the TV show, he becomes Daenerys' hand.
Yes.
So therefore, at this time in the TV show, is standing as tall as a king.
Right.
I don't know if he did it in the book too, but he was the stand-in hand of the king for Tywin for a while too.
He was
Tywin.
Yeah.
Sent him.
Yep. So he was Joffrey's hand.
See, I don't think there's any big meaning to it, because he also said at the beginning when he first saw Jaime Lannister that is what a king is supposed to look like.
Right. Well, I think that's... Yes, because remember, he mentions it in the chapter that Ned was always telling stories about Robert.
Yeah.
You know, the what is it, the demon of the Trident. This great, giant warrior king who stood 6.5 feet tall with his armor
Seven
on.
7 if he wore his helmet.
Right, yeah. So... And he was disappointed because in the last 15 years, the king had turned into a fat, lazy piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that quote, that little note by him is just that because of the way Ned always talked about Robert the king when they were younger.
Yeah.
That he had always envisioned him something, like a tall, striking, powerful man like Jaime Lannister looks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that line at the end, I think, is symbolic
of something about Tyrion and Tyrion's ability to go from being just, you know, the third son of Tywin Lannister, who's a dwarf and basically seen as a bastard, to being as, you know, as you know, with the stature and the power of a king, which he does eventually get that power.
Right. Yeah. I feel like this last paragraph itself, too, where Tyrion's walking back to the feast, like, even though all of these chapters are done from, like, the over-the-shoulder point of view of, like,
yeah, the limited third person.
Yeah, the limited third person of, like, that the character of the thing. Like, I feel like this last chapter kind of, like, tears away from Jon's over-the-shoulder and just kind of, like, focuses more so just on Tyrion. Like, the camera, the point of view camera, like, moves away from Jon and just kind of follows him off to the side.
Yeah, we kind of, we're almost kind of getting it through Jon's eyes instead of over his shoulders.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. Which is cool, yeah.
And I do think they were definitely meant to read something into the whole Tyrion stood as tall as a king, because, again, he does become the Hand of a King at least once in the books, twice in the TV show, probably twice in the TV show, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine he's going to in some way be that powerful.
You just said twice in the TV show, probably twice in the TV
show. Oh, probably twice in the books.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I assume that he will become Dany's hand at some point in the books.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Either that or Fagon slash Aegon's hand. One or the other. So, probably Dany.
I guess we'll see.
Maybe Aegon. Depending on how important Aegon is.
I don't know anything about Aegon right now.
Yeah, you won't find out about him until book 5.
Oh, then I guess he's not that important yet.
He's a...
I said yet.
Yeah, I mean, he's a third act. He's a third act character.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
So, yeah,
So, just because you mentioned Aegon, just for something that I was reading the other night when, you know when you're trying to go to bed and then you're like, let's see what's on Facebook, and then this thing popped up on the Game of Thrones feed that I have, and... One of the first book that Princess Shireen was teaching Davos to read is Aegon the Conqueror.
Yes.
So, and that was the first book. So, and apparently that's like an Easter egg. They refer to it as like an Easter egg in Game of Thrones, that it's supposed to lead into something more intense. Even though Aegon the Conqueror is a history of like the previous one, that they think they put that in there specifically as the first book that he learns how to read, because they want to kind of push forward toward the fact that Aegon is a much more important character.
Well, and that's because they're, for some reason, they decided to say that Jon Snow's name is Aegon, and we're supposed to believe that for some reason, yeah, Rhaegar would have two sons and name both of his sons Aegon.
Both alive at the same time.
Because apparently we're fucking stupid and they think that we're fucking retarded.
Well, Rhaegar didn't name him.
You don't think that... She would have known.
In the show.
She would have known that he had a son named Aegon, who at that point was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably most likely, before going off to battle, would have said, "Hey, I would really love our son's name to be blah, blah, blah." Do you really think he's going to call him Aegon? Because he already has a son named Aegon, who's still alive at that time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the TV show's terrible.
Yeah, the TV show is dumb, which is why I don't understand why you're taking TV show evidence as your evidence for...
I'm not saying it's... My evidence is like what's going on here. I'm just saying that they just mentioned it in the show, and then that's one of the reasons. Like,
oh, I know,
one of the
foreshadowings
in the show.
I know, but we need to get rid of the TV show as evidence for anything, because it's a completely different animal, and they're horrible at writing. They write good stuff, but they don't remember what they write. Like,
they've got Tyrion contradicting himself over
got
the battle.
Tyrion
at
Blackwater, and they've got Aegon having, or Rhaegar having two sons, both named Aegon.
At the same time.
Well, I mean, the ancient Romans used to do that in our time. The ancient Romans used to name all of their children after the male of the household, and they were mostly just numbered. They were all Alexanders.
Well, but it was like the last name.
It was
essentially their last name, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like their family name, like Caesar, right? There was a ton of Caesars all from the same family.
Yeah,
but that's because it was the family name, right?
No, I mean like so. Say that like the I don't know like I like not even like the last name. The father of the house's name was Alexander. All of the children would be named a variation of the name Alexander, including the females, which is where they got Alexandria.
Well, Alexandria is just, Ia means of.
Yes.
So it's, Alexandria is named Alexandria because it's of
Alexandria. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where they got the Alexandria from, because it's the daughter's named of Alexander.
Yeah.
And.
No, it's just because Ia means of.
And it's a city that was founded by Alexander. So it's of Alexander. It's the city of Alexander. It was his capital.
I think the name Heraclea is a bad choice for me to use this point.
She's ancient history fan. I do a lot of reading, especially about Alexander the Great.
A fan.
Yes, a fan.
History major.
Buff, whatever you want to call it. But yes, Alexandria is the city of Alexander because that was his capital city. Like the his magnus opus of a city in his empire was okay. Alexandria. So it's the city of Alexandria. It's the city of Alexander. That's why it's Ea. But yes, they did name variations of the name. But Aegon is not a variation of Aegon. Aegon is just Aegon. And Aegon is not a variation of Rhaegar at all.
No, it's not.
So, moot point.
That's fair.
It's not, and it's moot not point. Even a variation of his older brother's name.
Indeed.
It's just the exact same name.
The same name. Well, why not? Why not have two kids say the same thing? It'd be easier. When one gets in trouble, you yell it for both of them, and they're both in trouble, and then you're done.
Naming me and my twin sister the same name with one different letter.
Not even with a different letter, just naming you both Alicia with no letter changes at all. Yeah, this is, again, either the writers are incredibly stupid,
possible.
They think that the people who watch the TV show are incredibly stupid.
Very viable.
Also possible. So, or they have too much
information that they just can't keep it all straight.
They don't care, and they've already changed it so much anyway that they're just like, fuck it, we're not even going to bother trying to be, you know,
consistent
and or...
They already got the following. What do they care now?
Yeah, exactly. So we're not going to bother trying to make this like the books. I mean, we got Beric Dondarrion walking through the woods, the north with Jon, telling us on the TV show that, oh, you don't even look like Ned. Ah, not even a little bit. Now there's...
Bastard.
10 characters in the books who spend the first 4 books telling us that Jon is basically a clone of Ned Stark. He looks exactly like Ned Stark and is the only one of Ned's children who looks exactly like Ned Stark.
Which is kind of weird, being that, I mean, the other children are his children too. Son. Being that his other children are also his children too, and that's straight up.
The seed is strong.
Well, yeah, but
his other children look like their mother.
Yeah, they look like Catelyn Tully.
Right.
But Jon looks like Ned.
But they're also legitimately his children because there's no evidence that Catelyn ever cheated on him either.
But Jon looks like Ned, and his other children look like
right, which means that the Catelyn. Which means that the Tully genes were dominant.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but there's no question about the fact that Ned or that Jon Snow's not Tully is not a Tully.
No.
What we're saying is he's only going to get the look of Ned Stark by being Ned Stark's son.
It's like I look like my mom because my mom's my mom.
Yeah, it's fair. You look like your mother.
Okay.
I'm gonna say you look like your mother.
Okay.
I have not seen anywhere in here yet, but that's only read up to this chapter.
And half my siblings look like their father's side.
We've now reached
the portion of every episode where me and Lady Wyvern try to convince Widow Wolfsbane that she's dumb for not believing that Ned and Ishara are Jon Snow's parents.
We've gotten there, and I'm still not going with it.
That's what the whole show is about.
That's what the entire purpose of the show is.
This whole thing is for. This whole thing, it's not a breakdown of the book series. It's a breakdown of who Jon Snow's parents are.
That's right. And all the evidence we can find chapter by chapter in these books to figure it out. And there's evidence in this chapter of who Jon Snow's parents are.
There's evidence into the next chapter.
Well, we know it's not Benjen.
I'm just putting that out there. I'm saying that's part of the evidence of who is not his parents. Benjen's not his dad. Got it.
Okay, great.
You're gonna write them all down and cross them off as we go.
Mystery solved. Jon Snow is not Benjen. Ooh.
Listen,
we're gonna suss that out. All right.
I did a lot of detective work.
She needs
that
whiteboard so she can start crossing names.
I did.
Tyrion, also not Jon's dad.
Got it.
Robert, also not Jon's dad.
we're gonna need a big piece of paper.
Sir
for that
Jorah,
list.
Not Jon's dad.
Ooh,
Sir
like
Davos,
Sir Jorah.
Not Jon's dad.
Dick off, not John's dad.
Wait for the dick off. Oh, dick off.
Rob,
you.
Not John's dad.
I think, you know what?
Lord Manderly, not John's dad.
I do somewhat like dick off.
Oh,
he's an interesting character. Yeah, he's I do actually somewhat like him a little bit.
He's an interesting character. We get a lot of interesting happen. A lot of interesting things happen in his point of view chapters.
Yeah,
I think we have probably covered.
We covered way more than everything.
Everything. Right. This is going to be a great episode to edit. It's only going to take 6 hours.
I think this is about the longest episode we've recorded so far.
Nope.
No.
No. Not even.
Nope.
Really?
No. It only feels that way because we took a break.
There's a lot of stuff we have to cut out, though.
Yeah. You know.
But, yeah, I think that is pretty much everything for the chapter. We got into John, we got into Tyrion, we got into the royal family, we got into Benjen.
I'd like to get into Benjen.
Oh, you should put up, I'm going to send you a picture of my rabbit. You should put him as the, as a picture for part of the episode. Benjen Snow.
What do you? There's no pictures for the episodes. What are you talking about?
There's a podcast.
There's a podcast picture. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a title card. You see them in your feed. I just do a title card that lets people know what it is.
Well, the next title card should be Benjen Snow.
Yeah.
No.
Do you see the title cards? Do they look like anything like I'm putting people's faces on them?
Well, obviously he's not a people. He's a rabbit.
Benjen's a rabbit.
The answer is no.
Benjen Snow.
Who the fuck is Benjen Snow?
He's a rabbit.
What nonsense are you talking about?
We have got over this before.
Like Benjen? Only he's a bunny, so his name's Benjen.
Yeah. I had a rabbit who was black and white, and I named him Benjen.
Shoot me.
Benjen Snow.
Not going to be the title card for the fucking episode.
Look at him.
It's a black rabbit named Snow.
It's a black rabbit with white marks on him, and his name is Benjen Snow. Benjen Snow.
Yeah.
He's a cute bunny.
Paul Benjen Snow. Okay.
Peter Cottontail.
No. No.
All right, so...
Cat and the bitch, too.
Yes, that is correct. Our next chapter will be Catelyn 2, which, by the way, as much as I hate Catelyn, is actually one of my favorite chapters. In the entire first
part. A lot of information.
We get a lot of information. We get a lot of reasons to hate Catelyn in this next chapter. I mean, a lot of Catelyn.
I'm pretty sure we have plenty of reasons before
if you're
this,
like
but...
us and you don't like Catelyn.
But... You're going to love the next episode. Because we are going to tear Catelyn Tully to shreds. Because she does things. We bring back Ned Stark's comment from Bran 1 where he talks about the wolf being pushed away from the family because
the pack.
Of pushed away from the pack / family. And we get Catelyn doing that to a certain bastard child of the Starks.
Bitch face.
So we will see you guys next time when we break down Catelyn 2. And until then, ignore Benjen Snow.
Nope, do not ignore Benjen Snow.
Like. Subscribe, share the show with your friends, Aww. And we will talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.